This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bring on, frankly, one of my favorite writers in the country, a son of Cleveland as well. Joe Posnanski joining us. Got a book out right now called Why We Love Football, A History of Football in 100 Moments. Why We Love Baseball out as well, which is a wonderful read. The Baseball 100 on top of that one. Joe joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Joe, how are you, man?
Hey, Joe.
I am doing great.
Good to hear. All right, man. So let's start with that Guards game last night. Eighth inning, guy comes up who hit a home run in his previous at bat, and David Fry off the bench. Then they call the safety squeeze for him. What did you think when that happened?
I thought it was pretty crazy, is what I thought. You know, but I mean, it was a cool moment. I mean, look, yesterday's game was. This has been kind of a bummer of a series generally. It just feels like every single rally, obviously game one was great for Cleveland and the next two great for Detroit. But I mean, it just felt like no rallies were working. It just felt like every single thing that was going on, just felt kind of like, all right, well, this is, you know, nothing good is going to happen here. No runs are going to get scored. It didn't matter how many people were on base. It just, everything just felt, you know, and obviously we saw three shutouts. So everything about yesterday's game, the back and forth part of it, you know, David Fry obviously hitting, you know, one of the great pinch hit home runs in postseason history. I mean, if you look at it, was really great. And then, you know, getting the insurance run that way, it was pretty cool.
All right, as we look at tomorrow's game, I mean, I'm pretty excited for a game five. Anything can happen. I'm curious what you think about going up against Skubal again.
Well, sure. I mean, it's going to be, you know, come down to exactly what it came down to, you know, in game two. I mean, you're going to have to match Skubal with a full arsenal of great bullpen pitchers. I mean, that's just the way it's got to be for the way this Cleveland team plays. And of course, they could have taken game two. They could have beaten Skubal even with all the situation. Obviously, it was Skubal left the game when it was still scoreless. So there are opportunities. He really truly is fantastic. I mean, he's not just a guy who had a great year. He's a truly great pitcher, and I think a guy that's going to be a dominant force for a while now. So obviously that's tough, but it's also true that, you know, baseball today is just so different. It's not like going up against, you know, Hershiser or Maddux or Glavine, where, you know, they could go nine innings. He's not going to go nine. I mean, they'll get an opportunity. He's never thrown a complete game in his life. He's certainly not going to throw one today or tomorrow. And so, you know, you'll have opportunities against the bullpen too. So it's going to come down to somebody could scrape a run, and that's what this whole series has been about, and that's what I think game five is going to be about too.
Joe Posnanski joining us. You can read him at joeblogs.com on Substack. You can also listen to him on the podcast as well. And Why We Love Football, the book, you can find that pretty much at any bookseller around. Joe, we had always heard this mantra of ball go far, team go far. That was always the thought when it came to the playoffs. And it seems like this Guardians team might buck that trend a little bit. Like, they can hit the ball with some authority. They can get over the fence. But it seems like they're the team that does the little things. Do you think that they can move away from that trend of ball go far, team go far, and actually make a run in this playoffs?
Yeah, well, I mean, for sure they can. But honestly, the ball go far, team go far thing has not really been the case these playoffs. I mean, we've seen it a little bit in the National League with the Mets and Phillies series and a little bit with the Dodgers-Padres series, although that really hasn't been – those have been, you know, the games have been pretty well dominated for the most part by one or the other. So that's not really been the case. I mean, even the Yankees just beat the Royals. They didn't do it with home runs. I mean, Aaron Judge didn't hit a home run the whole series. Juan Soto didn't hit a home run the whole series. So I really think that now, because bullpens are so dominant, pitching is so tough all the way through, you know, from inning one to inning nine, no matter who makes the start, I really think it is the little things that end up winning games. Obviously, David Fry's home run was gigantic, and so you still would love to be able to hit one out, and that can be, you know, a game changer. But I don't think it's a power game in these postseason, and the Royal, I mean, the Guardians have that opportunity. I mean, they can run, they move runners, they steal bases. That's probably the way you have to do it if you're this team, and I think that it can work in a year like this.
All right, let's play the managerial matchup, Hinch versus Vogt. Do you tell me? I think it's kind of been like a pretty good boxing match between these two guys through four games.
I think it's been fun, and I think that there have been games like, I thought Game Three, I thought Hinch was really, really good in Game Three, and probably outmanaged Vogt. And then, you know, yesterday, the Vogt was fantastic and pulled all the right moves, and a lot of that is luck and timing. I mean, you make the right move, it doesn't have to work. You make the wrong move and it can work. So it's going to be really interesting. When you look around at the playoffs all across the league, I thought the biggest blunder of these playoffs was Mike Schilt throwing Dylan Cease on short rest in Game Four. I just thought that was a move that maybe turned that whole series around. You want to avoid those kinds of blunders, and I think both managers have done that. And when it's so tight. Look, these teams are really pretty much mirror images of each other. I mean, there are certain things, obviously, the Guardians have Jose Ramirez, but, you know, the Tigers have Tarek Skubal. So they're pretty much mirror images, and I think both managers are pretty good at what they do. So, yeah, somebody's going to make the right move and come out as a hero, and somebody's going to make the wrong move and come out as a goat. But I think that's a lot of that is just that's just the way it's going to work.
Joe, what do you think of the expanded playoffs?
I have pretty mixed feelings about them. Look, I'll give you a great example, and I'm sure people in Cleveland are talking about this. So you have a five-game series. Cleveland wins the division. So the advantage they get is they get the bye, which is, you know, a mixed bag at best. It's worked out okay for them. They were good in game one, but it's a mixed bag. And they get home field, so game five will be at home. So, I mean, that's not – I don't want to downplay that advantage because it's something, but it's not a lot in a five-game series. That's not a huge advantage. And then, because they added an extra off day, Skubal gets to pitch game five on full rest. I mean, he would not be doing that. You should not have a series, a five-game series, where the starter of game two is pitching game five on full rest. So I don't like a lot of that stuff. To me, it totally downplays what the regular season is all about. But that said, I love baseball. I love watching it. I love being around it. So it's more playoff games and more, you know, game fives like we're going to get for the next couple of days. And you know, winner-take-all baseball games are a lot of fun. So it's a mixed bag.
All right, Joe, can I flip gears over to the Browns for a second? You good with that?
Yes, I am.
All right, so I think the concern is if they don't win on Sunday and you're eyeing down, 1-5? Not that I want to talk about that. But are we looking at a fire sale right after that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how much of a fire sale you can do in football. I mean, you can obviously, you know, not put as much into trying to bring people in, obviously, and you can do some things. But I mean, look, everybody understands what's going on with the Browns. They are tied to a quarterback who is playing very, very poorly. And when you're tied to a quarterback who's played very, very poorly and not showing a whole lot of leadership, and there's not really much you can do about it, I mean, you're stuck, and that's where the Browns are for me. As a, you know, that's as a guy growing up in Cleveland as a big fan, it's crushing to watch this team try to make this work with Deshaun Watson. It's absolutely crushing. I hated the move when they made it. I thought it was completely it was just a terrible move in my mind for so many reasons when they made it. But it turned out to be way worse than I thought because he's not playing well at all, and he's not leading this team at all, and that's pretty tough when you're in a situation where you can't bench him and you can't release him and you can't cut him and you can't trade him. I mean, they're tied to him now. So at this point, if they lose this weekend, the rest of the season looks like just a bummer and a half.
So, Joe, it's funny because you see a lot of pieces starting to come out from all over the place that are saying like, oh yeah, Kevin Stefanski, possible hot seat. Kevin Stefanski could find himself there. And it's funny because here in Cleveland, we all kind of look at it and you get a couple people who are yelling every so often about the coach, as always the case. But the majority of people are like, this isn't Stefanski's fault. Do you believe that too? Are you also kind of like, this isn't Stefanski's fault. It's just kind of a disjointed offense with a quarterback who's playing poorly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, for me, you point directly at a front office that made the Deshaun Watson trade. I mean, that is everything for this team to make that trade, to sign him that, you know, to that contract. You're basically saying, okay, listen, I'm not giving you any options here. You've got to make this work with Deshaun Watson. He's got to be great or this team is not going to go anywhere. And he's not great, and this team's not going anywhere. And that's not Kevin Stefanski's fault. I think he's done a very good job through the years kind of keeping it together. I really am curious what he honestly thinks about the whole situation with Deshaun Watson. He's obviously not going to say anything. He'll probably never say anything about it. But, I mean, he cannot be happy at all. I don't know that he ever was happy. I mean, the way this team was humming last year behind, you know, a 78-year-old Joe Flacco was so much fun. And that team was so much fun to root for. And the defense was rocking and everything was going great. And look, they weren't good enough once the playoffs came around. Everybody understands that. But that team was so much fun to watch and so much fun to play for, I would imagine. And this year just feels like the exact opposite. And the one thing that's changed is Deshaun Watson is back at quarterback.
All right, Joe, so you wrote a book called Why We Love Football after the success of Why We Love Baseball, which was an absolutely wonderful read, a history in 100 moments. What made you want to do the same idea with baseball with football? And how did you build those moments? Did you just do NFL or is there college in there and all of that good stuff? How did you build this one?
Yeah, this one was great. This one was so much fun to do. And, you know, it's interesting. I didn't really think about it as a follow-up. I mean, of course it is a follow-up to Why We Love Baseball. But really, for me, I wanted to write a football book. I mean, growing up in Cleveland, I was, football was everything to me. It was, you know, really before baseball and bigger than baseball. I was just this gigantic Browns fan. There's a lot of Browns in this book, by the way. But, you know, that's just what I grew up with, and I really want to write this book, and I thought the way to write this book, the way to write about what it is about this sport that makes it so much a part of us is to talk about these moments. And so it is everything. It is pro moments. It is college moments. It's high school moments. It's off-the-field moments. It's 100 moments where we bounce all around, you know, there's music in here. There's halftime shows. There's obviously some of the great, you know, some of the great college football plays and moments of all time. And then obviously, you know, mostly pro football and you know, what I think about football is just how emotional it is. I mean, it's just such an emotional experience. Listen to me getting emotional about the Browns now. It's just such an emotional experience, and that's what I really tried to capture. I mean, these are really, really emotional, fun, not all of them are fun moments, but really emotional moments about football and why it gets inside us.
All right, so how many Browns stories are in there? Couple?
Wow, like a bunch.
Okay,
they're
cool.
But they're not all good. They're not all good, but there are a bunch of Browns moments in there.
Oh, there's got to be one good Browns moment in there, right?
Oh,
one?
No, there are multiple good Browns moments, but you have to go back a little ways to get to the multiple Browns good moments. I mean, look, Jim Brown is obviously a huge part of this. Paul Brown is a huge part of this, and so there's some really good Brown stuff in there. But I will say this, the moments that are in there that every Browns fan already knows those, which moments I'm talking about, they're written from a perspective of a Browns fan. So, let's just say that a certain drive is the shortest chapter of the book. Let's
okay, good. That's like one sentence. That's good. Yeah. One sentence is good.
It's a very, very short chapter. Yes.
Jerk made nice passes, broke heart. Anyways, to the Jets overtime win.
Carlos didn't make the kick. That'd be another good. We could do that one too. We could do make believe chapters.
Oh, all of that's in there. All of that's in there, including Carlos not making that kick.
Perfect. Well, thank you for joining us, Joe. We really appreciate your time, all of the great information, all that stuff. Why We Love Football, booksellers everywhere, Amazon, all that good stuff. If you've never read a Joe Poznanski book, this is a great one to start with. They're awesome reads. They're so much fun on top of it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Joe.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Joe Poznanski joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.